Welcome back to Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guests are coming to the North Bar for two stand-up shows and a live recording of one of their podcasts, Chicago Make Way, for the Sklar Brothers.
So now that we have kids, we're looking back at the way our parents raised us. It's just the two of us, and they did a great job raising us. But one thing we're realizing looking back is that our father always had a job.
He did.
Which baffles us today because we're wondering why he decided to raise us as if we were the poorest family in America.
Yeah, like... We were Dust Bowl migrant workers.
Characters in the Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah.
Can we go to Disneyland? Keep picking the grapes.
I don't know
if they pick grapes in that book.
Our dad actually had us believing we could be evicted from a house that we owned outright.
We owned the house.
How did he do it?
No landlord. He had us doing it so he would get us to stop doing things he didn't want us to do.
Exactly. Right. We'd be upstairs playing Nerf hoop, jumping, and he'd just yell at the floor, which was our floor, his ceiling, and be like, keep jumping up there. They'll take it away.
They'll take the
all
whole
of this
house.
Is going to be gone.
I'll get the suitcases.
You should.
We're
right
leaving out of the suitcases because they had to play Nerf hoop.
Yeah. You know a great place you can play Nerf hoop? The bus station.
That's where we're going to be living now.
Jason and Randy Sklar are best known for their stand-up, performing all around the country. They've produced four comedy albums and specials for both Comedy Central and Netflix, and Stars coming up here. They also had their own ESPN classic show called Cheap Seats. And of course, they're very well known for their wildly popular podcast, Sklarboro Country, which they just retired, and they have a new podcast, Dumb People Town. Got a lot to talk about with these guys. The Sklar Brothers are a force, and like I said, will be on stage Friday at North Bar in Wicker Park with two stand-up shows and a live taping of their Dumb People Town podcast. But first, they're here with us tonight, Randy and Jason Sklar. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you so much for having us. We love Chicago so much. Being from the Midwest ourselves, it is literally one of our favorite cities to come to. And you mentioned our Stars stand-up special, which will premiere. It'll be tomorrow. It'll be available on the Stars app. And then Wednesday night, it'll be airing on Stars at, I believe, 10, maybe 9 Central.
And that's from the show you guys did last year.
At Lincoln Hall. So you're given a choice when you do a stand-up special to record it wherever you want, and we chose Chicago mainly because we've always had great shows in Chicago. Chicago audiences get comedy, but they're not so uptight that they don't let you go for stuff, and yet at the same time, they're there to have fun, and we've always just had great shows there.
Chicago obviously has a very robust stand-up comedy community, and it also has spaces to do shows, to tour. When you come here, where do you guys usually play? And because Lincoln Hall is a place that is mostly music, and North Bar as well is starting to get into comedy, talk about the kind of venue you like to play when you come to a city like Chicago.
Well, there for many years, we played over on Broadway. I think this is in Lincoln Park. We did the Lakeshore Theater, which was amazing, and that was a great venue for comedy. And then that one time we did the Main Stage Theater, which is up by Loyola, and that was really cool. It seemed like that was a great sort of a space. And then we started doing Up, the club, the comedy club above Second City, which was great. And now we're doing North Bar because we have a relationship with Jim Weber, who runs North Bar, who's really starting to get phenomenal acts in to create like a certain comedy scene there. And we thought, you know, we play bigger venues, but it's kind of fun to maybe do a few shows in one night, pack them in. The shows are selling really well. I don't know if there's a ton of tickets left, so if you're interested in going, you definitely should go. We have a great guest for our live podcast. We've got part of, I guess, sketch and improv royalty in Chicago, Dave Pasquese. He's unbelievable. He'll be our guest, and Dan Van Kirk's coming with us, who's so wonderful, and he'll be doing stand-up with us. And we just kind of want to help generate new comedy venues in Chicago, and Jim Weber has a great one at North Bar.
Yeah, I love it, too. Wicker Park needs more of that. Talk about your style, you guys. Watching all of your clips and the specials, you guys have definitely been able to rely on the communication of brothers, of course, but there is something great that kind of hails back to the past of being able to jump in on each other's sentences, but also create something new. Talk about crafting a duo-style stand-up show like you guys do with the Sklar Brothers.
It's a great point. It's a little bit different, you know, than... You come up with one person can come up with a premise, this happened to me, and then that's it. We kind of have to go through another layer of like, how can we both sort of interact with what's going on here? If it's a story that just affects me, Randy, well, how does Jason feel about it? And Jason can be like the audience commenting on it. Or if it's something we both experienced, do we jump into like a sketch immediately?
Yeah, so it's, right.
a lot of our stuff, instead of like giving examples that comedians would give, we then jump into an act out of acting out what exactly, you know, we're trying to say. And, you know, being twins and being able to listen to each other and sort of almost like there's a little bit of improv kind of woven in through what we do because we want to keep it exciting. It's a mix of stand-up, sketch, and improv that kind of people are seeing real moments on stage, and that's what we want to try and give them, and something different than if it were just one person standing up there. That's what we've been working on.
And it uses, but it uses what I love about it is it may not be improvised, meaning you may know the lines that you'll do, but it uses a lot of the tenets, the philosophy behind improv, the yes and for both of you guys, and being able to pick up and almost go with what the other brother is saying. There's something great about that because it does feel like it's on the spot.
You know what? Thank you for noticing that. Yeah, that was a conscious decision when we started out because a lot of people wanted to push us into characters and archetypes and having tension with each other, like a lot of classic comedy teams had. You think about the Smothers Brothers, probably the most famous other brother duo, but, you know, Martin and Lewis and Abbott and Costello and all the famous comedy teams usually had very different personalities, and one guy was the straight man, the other was the funny man, and the straight guy was trying to rein in the funny man all the time, and that... We are huge fans of that, but we said it's already been done. Maybe we can have a different approach. Maybe we can have a postmodern approach to the comedy team and create something different where, you know, we were very influenced by, like, the Beastie Boys. That was hugely influential to us. We thought they were talented. We thought they were funny. They crisscrossed with each other. They added and they supported what each other said. And at the same time, they overlapped, but they never stepped on each other. And there was something really cool with that delivery that affected us a lot. And I think subconsciously we found a way to kind of weave that style into what we do.
Yeah. You know, another way that you guys have been ultra successful, obviously on stage and being able to have specials on networks like Starz coming up this week, but also Comedy Central and Netflix, has been podcasts. You have been at the forefront, if not the pioneers, of comics with podcasts. Now it feels like anyone who's going to go to Los Angeles to get into Hollywood, the agent tells them you got to have a reel and you have to have a podcast. That's like the new thing, a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Talk about how you deal with competition, people doing the same thing, and now this glut of podcasts, especially since you guys are at the forefront.
You know, it's so funny. I think back to the beginning when we were thinking about doing a podcast. We're talking a decade ago, and guys like Chris Hardwick and Jimmy Pardo, a great Chicago comedian, and, you know, Doug Benson, these are all people who have major podcasts that actually predated when we started. They kind of talked about how great it was to have this sort of weekly mouthpiece to do kind of what you wanted to do. And I think at the beginning, everybody sort of interviewed people, and we all kind of interviewed whoever we could get and get the biggest guests that you could. And then sort of Maron's podcast came along, and, you know, once he got Obama, we were like, well, no one's going to get bigger than that.
Yeah.
And these are interesting, but I think you sort of podcast grew out of that initial phase, and it was like, well, you have to have an angle on what you're doing. And the podcast we'll be doing at North Bar is a podcast called Dumb People Town, and it actually takes an idea that we all believe that the world is getting dumber. I mean, we believe that it's happening right now as we speak. There's a naked guy probably in Tampa with a machete who's going to the bathroom in someone's pool that isn't his. I haven't read the news, but I'm telling you that's probably happening.
Right.
And so understanding that premise, we say, okay, well, what's our recourse? There are all these crazy local news stories that you see in your news feed, or you're looking on Yahoo News or AOL News or wherever. How do we then take that and make that funny? So we said, okay, what if we did a show where our fans sent us in the stories, and then we, and along with Dan Van Kirk, who will be with us at the North Bar on Friday night, the
break
three of us
down.
Break them down, and it actually is very cathartic because we get to make fun of the decisions that, you know, people in this country make and just have a blast trying to break it down and create comedy in the ways of you described before, almost like improv ways, and the stories themselves provide that information. And we thought, okay, now we're saying something about the world, we're saying something, and that this podcast is actually jumping into almost like a tiny true crime thing, but attacking it from a funny perspective.
Yeah. Sklar Brothers with me. They are going to be at North Bar coming up on Friday, both doing two stand-up shows and a live taping of Dumb People Town, which we were just talking about. It's interesting, too, because you've carved out an angle and a niche with sports. Sports and comedy has been an area that there's always been sports podcasts, there's always been comedy podcasts, but you guys have made your name in being able to cross over and talk about the comedy of sports or the sports of comedy.
Yeah, there's a lot to be made with that as well. Yeah, I mean, we've always had the attitude that sport, I think our approach to it is we would love to be, our push to comment to sports is, can we make sports relatable, understandable for people who don't necessarily love sports without losing sports fans also? Mm-hmm. Like last week we were watching the NFL draft, and you know, the Bears did really well. Congratulations, you guys did a good job. But like watching the Browns, we're like, what does this feel like?
Yeah,
you know, for us it felt like everybody watching Jennifer Aniston try and find a husband. You look to yourself and you're like, all right, she can pick anybody, you know, like the Browns. She has the pick of whoever she wants, but we're sitting there going, how is she going to screw this up and get the wrong guy? And she did. So that's something that my wife can laugh at, and she's not a huge sports fan.
It's kind of interesting because I was thinking about the comedy is, I think of George Carlin bit where he was kind of making fun of football. And the idea that there's always been almost a wall between the artists of comedy who make it very known that they're not sports driven. They're not into sports or whatever. They're in art. They're on stage in the club. You leave the sports for the mainstream. So there is this idea that it used to not be involved with the great stand-ups, but you're seeing more and more stand-ups get clever and essentially bring sports into their act.
Well, I think what's interesting is, first of all, a lot of comedians go into comedy because they were made fun of by athletes in high school, and they're like, well, we're going to make fun of you back. And the other thing is that most athletes are not funny. Like, the idea of humor around most athletes is pretty pedestrian, it's pretty sophomoric, and it's not very, like, anytime you see an athlete that actually has, like, an evolved sense of humor, we're all, like, blown away because it's so rare. And I think the comedy around sports has kind of been the same. It kind of caters to the lowest common denominator, and I think that's why a lot of comedians just stay away from sports. But we do feel like there is an audience of people who are smart, who love sports, but at the same time want to see it taken down a peg and the parts of it that need to be addressed. And that's what we do in our other podcast, View from the Cheap Seats, but it's what we did on our old TV show, Cheap Seats, on the ESPN Classic, and it's sort of become like a little part of our comedic brand.
The other part too, as you mentioned with what you guys are doing on Friday with Dumb People Town, is politics. Clarks and Stripes is the you guys have been going around the country performing in both red states and blue states and kind of talking to your audiences, but also having this opportunity to do jokes and get to know the people in this country. This is something for Amazon. Talk about how this came about and getting out of sports necessarily and getting into politics.
Jane and I are, you know, we like to think that we're thoughtful people, and, you know, we go around and do stand-up, and we'll go into a town. You're there for a weekend. We're away from our families, which is hard. We each have kids, and it's hard to be away, and the attitude is, well, do we sit around the hotel all day long and then go to the shows at night, or do we go and try and experience as much as we can in these cities and maybe write some material about what we're experiencing? We thought that would be a great thing to document. So we said, okay, let's do this. 10 cities. Each city is a chapter. Each chapter is about 30 minutes long, and the plane lands on Thursday, and we give ourselves a challenge. Can we write 10 minutes of material about this town in 3 days? Sometimes we're going to, like, comedy festivals, and that's just Friday and Saturday, so you only have 2 days. You get there Friday evening, so you really only have a day and a half, and it is a huge challenge, but you hear us try and go through the process. So it's like three documentaries in one. It's what it's like to be in this country right now in these cities, what it's like to be stand-ups going around at our level, touring around and basically doing what we do a year in the life of stand-up, and then how does an idea, an observation turn into a funny idea, which turns into a funny joke, which ultimately turns into a bit on stage. And then the first weekend we did it was the weekend after the election in 2016. We were in San Diego, which was a city that was super divided, and we realized, oh my God, as we do this over the next year, this country has never felt more divided. Everyone has retreated to their bubbles, but as comedians, you get the offer, you got to go to a super liberal city. If you're a conservative comedian, that's a challenge. If you go to a conservative city, a red city in a red state, and you're a blue comedian, you got to deal with that, and without alienating your audience, but you still want to get your opinions out and your views out. So it becomes like a very interesting study in how we bring people together with comedy and while still staying true to ourselves. And we pitched that to Audible, and they loved it, and they're like, this would be a great audio documentary. And so it's available on Audible, called Sklars and Stripes. And we've worked on things before, but to work on something for 13 months and then have it all come together the way we intended it to is like super special.
Well, I mean, what's crazy is that the guy who produced it with us, so the guy who's in the field with us producing it as we're going along, helping us.
Interviewing people.
You hear his voice all throughout it, is Scott Rogowski, who is the host of HQ Trivia, right. That crazy trivia game. So he kind of blew up in this whole year for himself, and we're just happy that everybody in the world can see how funny we know he is.
It's amazing. I mean, there's so many great projects that you guys are involved in. Sklar's and Stripes on Audible, the Dumb People Town podcast, and Views from the Cheap Seats, both podcasts done by the Sklar brothers. This Friday night, they're going to be at North Bar in Wicker Park. They're going to be doing two stand-up shows and a live taping of Dumb People Town with Dave Pasquese, which is awesome. And also, you can get their special, which will be on Stars this week. A lot going on. Jason, Randy, Sklar, I can't thank you guys enough for taking some time out to talk with me tonight on The Download. Appreciate it.
Love it. Thank you so much, and keep doing the great work that you do.